Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Amherst talk, Bandits talk, still to come here on Sabres Live. And very quickly through the three remaining series in the West we didn't get to, including Dallas-Vegas tonight, which is on the heels of a Dallas massive overtime win thanks to Wyatt Johnston and his heroics against Logan Thompson. And it almost feels like they needed a hero, a true definition of a hero, to get past Thompson and the Golden Knights.
So a couple of things in that game. Number one, well, if your faith in what 2024 hockey has been because of the low shot totals and low offense from other teams, then watch the Dallas-Vegas game and your faith will be restored, because there was a lot of offense, a lot of shots, a lot of scoring chances, really good goaltending. Logan Thompson, unbelievable in that game. Now, as we watch highlights on MSG right now, he has a full-on black catching glove. The rest of his gear, his pads are gold, his blocker is gold. The catching glove is full on just dark black. It almost feels like when I had Ryan Miller's glove and it was the red glove that I wore, it didn't match the rest of my gear, but I was testing the glove. I'm like, why does he have a black glove? Is his old glove broken? Like, but it worked because he was really good in that game. And Wyatt Johnston, the hero, scores the first goal of the game, which was huge for Dallas to be able to get up 1-0 in the first and then score the last goal. 3 hours later, I want to say he scored the first goal at 11:15 p.m. Eastern and scored the last goal at 2:15 a.m. Eastern 3 hours later to bookend that game.
Yes, and the reason I put a heavy emphasis on his name is because, not unlike in the previous segment when we talked about Seth Jarvis, like, I can't stress enough how much people need to know how good this player is.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it went almost unnoticed last year, even though he shared the lead in rookie goal scoring with Matty Beniers. And, like, the kid is so good. And that's why Dallas, whatever happens this year, has, you know, Dallas has benefited nicely from some veteran additions this year, but their young core moving forward is still going to be elite. Okay, yes. So what happens in this one tonight, by the way, with Vegas leading 2-1?
The Dallas Stars are my new Winnipeg Jets. Don't want to talk about them because they seem to always... I know. I'm thinking Vegas takes that one over. I think game four is Vegas's game.
Cassidy was not thrilled with how they started that game. Ooh, no. His on the bench.
But then
interview.
They were like, man, like I thought they were going to win the game 5-2. Like Vegas was so strong. And then Jack scores a shorthanded goal. And I'm thinking that they're going to win this in regulation. They're going to blow them out of the water. So it didn't happen, but I think Vegas wins.
The weird part with Vegas, as I was stressing earlier, the Eastern Conference teams that have had the balance so far, Vegas only has points from 8 players, which when you think of their roster, they could do better than that. And they could especially get more from the depth of their blue line. So we'll have to see if that plays an increased role in tonight's game 4. Okay. I heard you say it. Jets. Oh my goodness. Okay. So I'm going to try to simplify this, as they're down 3-1 to a team that, the Jets are down 3-1 to a team that they absolutely destroyed in the regular season series. Who is to blame?
There's a lot of blame to go around. I can't even say Connor Hellebuyck is the only one to blame because, he hasn't been good enough, but The shots were 12-2 for Colorado, and he had probably seen like six grade A chances when Colorado made it 1-0, right? And Winnipeg was lucky, really lucky, to even be in this game and be 1-1. How is that not called offside? And the league actually came up with saying it was inconclusive. So this, like, an offside is either not or it is, right? But
I'm sorry, did you say the National Lacrosse League intervened?
Exactly. Yeah, the National Lacrosse League said it's inconclusive. But here's the problem. When Appleton came into the zone for that goal, the puck is on his backhand. We can never see. There's not an angle with the camera that we see the puck if it has crossed the blue line. And the near side angle, the camera for the blue line, it's you're too close to it, so you don't see it. So they say inconclusive. It looks so far offside. Connor Hellebuck, Dan, it's 1-1. Winnipeg takes penalties, and Colorado goes on the power play. I'm almost blaming Rick Bonus right now. I'm like, are you not figuring it out? Like, figure it out now because you're not playing good at all.
Yeah. What was the funny referee commentary this year after the goal?
You're not going to like that.
Yeah, but who was it?
Oh, I don't remember who it was, but yeah.
A perfect review or announcement in that situation based on your description of being too close to a camera. I'm sorry, we couldn't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah,
the goal stands. And honestly, like, it's, hey, that's life. Like, you can try, and yet sometimes technology just doesn't help you win the situation. But at the end of the day, Colorado's power plays at 40%. The Avs are scoring. And I'm forever grateful, because we do need true offensive teams still to have success, I hope, in today's NHL.
No, you're 100% true. Colorado, look, big Val Nichushkin. Like, and that's the thing. Like, McKinnon still buzzing around. Makar, what a goal. Like, end-to-end goes up on the blocker side. Fantastic. Arturi Lekkonen, you know, again, like, he's been so good. Like, they don't have Jonathan Troin. They don't have Gabriel Landeskog. Some guys have to step up. And it has been Nichushkin and Lekkonen that have stepped up. Nichushkin has got 6 goals in 4 games, a goal in every game, and he had 3. No assist, though. He's not a pass. He's a Cy Young winner. He's like a 6-0 right now, but he's been so good.
Yeah, but that's because Rantanen doesn't have any goals, and he's giving them all up to the others. You see how this works, and yes. It is remarkable that after game one and all the talk, and it wasn't just game one, let's be clear about that, it was a poor end to the season for Georgiev. Well, he's now 3-1, and none of the rest of the numbers matter. He's still well below 900. His goals against is over 3. But none of it matters, because they have 3 wins and he's 2 goals per game against better than his counterpart right now in Connor Hellebuck, who's standing at 522 and an 870. Colorado up 3-1 in that series. Last one to speak of is Edmonton up 3-1 on the LA Kings, who cannot.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Or they focused almost entirely on a defensive mindset, and yay for them for wanting to go that route. I get it. They almost, you know, had three times as many shots as the Oilers last night, but they don't have offensive mojo like the Oilers, and Edmonton needed only one. Their power play, once again, like in recent Oiler years gone by, 53% right now. Yeah. And that was the difference in the game. And presumably, it will be the difference in the series.
What a play, right, McDavid, to Draisaitl up top to Evan Bouchard. It was perfectly executed. That's the 1-0 game. Big save, Dave. David Redick started for the LA Kings. It doesn't matter. He played well. Stuart Skinner was the star of the game for the Edmonton Oilers. But what LA's done in Game 4 is they switched their matchup. In Game 3, it was Philip Deneau against Connor McDavid's line. And you know what? It didn't work. They gave up 6 goals in that game. So in Game 4, they say, we're going to play Kempe with Kopitar against the Connor McDavid line. Well, it worked, but it neutralized the offense because Adrian Kempe is the one guy that's providing offense for the LA Kings, and it neutralized their offense, so they weren't able to score. So, yeah, that's the cat-and-mouse game that LA's trying to play right now. Either we neutralize our offense by trying to neutralize the Oilers' offense, or we go toe-to-toe. It hasn't worked at all.
No, it hasn't, and many are still waiting for a Pierre-Luc Dubois impact on the series. And just to put a bow on what you had said previously about Winnipeg, and maybe it's on Rick Bonus, a lot of people are wondering about Cole Perfetti being scratched for 3 straight games. Yeah. And after previously having mentioned the balance for many teams in the playoffs, the irony, Winnipeg has 18 players with a point. And they're not in great shape.
Perfetti's going to come back in the lineup. That was a scary moment when Nemestikov got the puck in the face and had to go to the hospital. So he's going to be out. So we anticipate Perfetti to come back.
Yes, on the heels of them having lost Brendan Dillon in a situation that we don't have time for commentary on. Okay, I talked enough, and I was fortunate to be able to talk enough about the Amerks this weekend because I was providing color on the broadcast on Friday and Sunday. I'd like your take on where the Amerks stand here, 1-1 with Syracuse through 2.
Listen, that standings in their division was so tight all season long. I'm not surprised that after 2 games, it's 1-1. Look, the Amerks had a 2-0 lead. They were down. They came back. Some would say they got hosed a little bit, you know, as we got in our text group with what was not an icing play in overtime. And the puck came back into the Amerks zone just to see the puck in their net 3 seconds later. But it's a tight series. Syracuse is a good team. They're play a tight game and you got to work for every inch. And I wasn't expecting the Amerks to go out and win that in a sweep of 3 games. No, it's going to be a tight matchup all throughout the series.
Yeah, Lucas Rusek has points in both, but it ends up being about it ends up being the team not being able to defend faceoff plays where they allowed Syracuse to have 3 tip-in goals off of faceoff situations, including the overtime winner by Forche, and that was on the heels of a missed call, botched call by the officials who ruled it to be icing against the Amerks when it was not icing. Kozak deflected the puck just outside of the Syracuse blue line, and the frustration comes, and this will be as the day is long, from Seth Appert. Like, it was a midway point of overtime, so the shovels were coming out for the scrape, and they, the officials, never once conferred, come on. Like, you have, again,
talk it over for 30 seconds.
That's all. Like, all we want is the discussion on the matter. And there wasn't any. And again, as Seth clearly explained, that's not why they lost. They lost because they can't defend off of a faceoff. And the 3 goals, by the way, were allowed with 3 different centermen on the ice. The first time it was Yops who lost the draw late in the second period. The next one in the third was Richards, who was only out there for faceoff duty because they took Austlin off the line and put Richards out for the defensive zone draw with Rosean and Kulik, and they lost that. And then Byro in overtime which to me is ironic because it was not won cleanly. And Biro actually then on the second attempt goes forward because he's got a winger going across. And wouldn't you know it, it's Kozak who was playing his first game of the series. So Kozak doesn't get the icing negated, yeah, which was his stick on puck. And then Kozak gets picked on the faceoff, so he can't get to the puck that Biro has won. And they score on the redirect from the point shot. So, yeah, to your point, it's super close. And game three is Thursday. Game four is on Saturday.
I feel like the Amherst have the better of skills. And Syracuse has a little bit more like, we're going to go to the front of the net type of mentality, which is the goals were basically like that. The Amherst got offense, move forward, like transition, let's go. And Syracuse is just, let's hunker down around Devon Levi and make it tough.
Yeah, I mean, Syracuse definitely made it tough in the third period when they got themselves back to even and in the lead. In fact, over the last, you know, two periods, you were talking about a Amherst team that was dramatically outshot. This is, again, not particularly breaking news. The Amherst are not a high-volume shot team, but the shots were 20-6 in favor of Syracuse over the third period and overtime, which lasted just over 10 minutes. So, again, unfortunate. Devon Levi, though, my opinion, really, really comfortable and strong. And I would suspect nothing less than that moving forward. You?
Yeah, no, I look, what we've seen out of Levi, and I still think there's a lot of room for improvement, but kind of like his game at the college level was, is he's extremely athletic, really fast, really, I don't want to say agitated, but there's always something moving, right? Like that's how he plays. He's like the duck, the feet underneath the water, but it's the whole body. It's not just like a calm presence with everything running underneath. No, it's everything is running all the time. That's his key to success. But when it's running way too fast, like at times it has at the NHL level, now you're losing yourself. And I feel like what he's been able to do in Rochester and now continues to do is find the right rhythm. Like he's not going above the speed limit and getting a ticket. He's staying at the speed limit and it's working.
Yeah, I think there's an awful lot of things that can also still click in more for the Amherst from a scoring standpoint. But it's pretty much played out as, you know, as it, you know, as we would have expected. It's unfortunate that they lost a 2-0 lead yesterday, but that has happened repeatedly in the regular season series against Syracuse, and yet they found their way to bounce back. So again, game three happens on Thursday. Lots of overtime in the hockey world and in the lacrosse world. We'll dive in on the Bandits when we come back on Sabres Live.